Now, how long have you been in Armidale, and what have you been doing since you've been in Armidale?
Okay.
You or me?
Hugo.
That's not my name.
Hugo.
Hugo. Fancy calling me Hugo. That's dreadful.
That's a good dad joke.
I was installed on the 30th of May. That means like a computer, you kind of install a software program. Well, and when it comes to the Anglican Church, you get installed into a position. And so I was installed into the position of the Bishop of the Diocese on that day. Somebody asked me, what does being installed mean? I said, somebody else told me it's being put in your place. So I said, that's been the whole of my life. So what else is new? So that's where we're at, yeah.
What have you been doing in Armidale since you moved in?
Unpacking. We live on a work construction site, really. In Armidale, we have the house that they call Bishop's Court is a yellow brick kind of 70s house. And there was a big, what kind of tree was it?
Deciduous tree.
Deciduous tree. That's good. And it was undermining the foundations of the church, of the house. And it's also on the slope in Armidale that they reckon is the slide down the hill slope. And so one end of the house was kind of going like that. So they had to pull up the tree, remove it completely, and then demolish that end of the house. And so when we arrived, it was still going, and it's still going now, and heaven knows when it'll be finished. But we're happily living up the other end. It's a big house. In fact, yesterday I went and visited. I haven't seen your office yet, but yesterday I visited the office.
There's a good reason for that.
It's at the golf course. Maybe I did visit it. Yesterday I went to WeWar, and Bernard Gavitt took me into his office to show me his office. And I said to him, Bernard, I said, if you ever come to visit us, I said, will you forgive me? He said, what for? I said, because my office is almost as big as your house. It's huge. It's just ridiculous how big it is. But anyway, we're very comfortable. And, yeah.
What else have we been doing? We've also been visiting churches.
Yeah, we've been doing that. But he said in Armidale.
Where have you been? Or where are you? Which place have you visited?
So we have visited Bingra and Baraba and Tenterfield and
Gunnedah. And Glen Innes.
Oh yeah.
Well, I visited Glen Innes.
You did.
You were with me.
Yeah. But that was in March, so that was before we actually started. So yes.
And we've been to, did we say Inverell?
No.
Warrialda.
Yep.
Tinga.
Yep.
We've driven through Dalungra. Moree with Casilla, and then we were yesterday. You today, Barradine tomorrow, Boggabri on Thursday. And then later in the year we do Boggabilla.
A lot of other places.
Walgett, Moree, and Lightning Ridge and all those sorts of places. So every time people talk to us about this, they say, you should sing that song. Which song am I talking about? Yeah, good, good.
And we have someone in the congregation who can actually sing that.
Wollongong Dapto, Wollongong
Dapto.
So
we might get him up the front.
Okay.
Now, there is a local version of that. It goes, I've been to Narrabri, 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 we will Narrabri, 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 Buggabri, Narrabri, Narrabri. That's, people don't get out of the place very far.
I love it.
They're locals.
I think it's good.
Tell us a bit about your family and okay. Who's not here.
We have four children. One is an in-law. So Nathan is married to Rebecca, and Nathan is a carpenter. He and Rebecca are overseas at the moment for 9 weeks. Rachel is 22, and she's at university studying business and commerce. And Jacob is 19, and he finished his HSC last year. He's an apprentice carpenter, and he works for his older brother. When his older brother's in Australia or at home. And we sold our house in Sydney and bought a unit, a three-bedroom unit. And when we said to the kids we were buying a three-bedroom unit, our eldest son, who's married, said, "Oh, do you think we could move into the other bedroom in the unit where we were going to put the other two kids?" And we had to then, you know, kind of say, "Okay, well, just for a short period of time, you can do that." So when he gets back from his trip overseas, he will be moving in with the other two kids. And that will mean that our bedroom that we can visit in Sydney will be gone.
Yes, that's right. Nathan has always been good at spending his parents' money. But now he's learned how to use his parents so that he can save his own. It's a disaster, never mind.
That's good stuff. And Janine, you've been here a couple of times before with the YouthWorks mission teams in 08, 09.
Yeah, yep, 09 and then probably 3 07. Years before that, I think,
It would have been 07, wouldn't it? Yep. Anyway.
Mark Sutton was here.
So tell us a bit of what your impressions of Narrabri have been and what you're looking forward to by being here.
Okay. Well, it was really encouraging kind of catching up with people that I met in the last two times that I've been at Narrabri, so I was keen to come back again, and it's great to see people who are still loving Jesus and coming to church. It's great to see young people here, and I was involved with the YouthWorks College mission team, and they were focused on children and youth. So it's really great to see lots of young people and lots of families still here and loving Jesus. So I guess what am I looking forward to? Well, just maintaining relationships and being able to pray for you guys and keep on supporting you in your work in Narrabri.
Thanks very much. Anything else you need to tell us before you...
Oh, I just think the job, I haven't got a clue what a bishop does. Not a clue. I just kind of wander around and shake my head and think, well, what do I do next? That sounds dreadful. I'm in the process of trying to visit everywhere, get a feel for the diocese as a whole, try and understand towns, try and fathom how we keep ministry particularly happening in isolated places. Narrabri really isn't one of those. 8,000 people, it's a big town compared to some of the little towns we're going to, and how do we keep ministry, the ministry of the gospel, going in towns where people need Jesus, but perhaps we're struggling to be able to do that financially, to keep people in positions in those places, or where we can't find the finances to find personnel, retired people who might be willing to be trained and equipped to do that. But that really is the job of a minister everywhere. I mean, that's the job of the minister at Ingadine, to try and work out how do you keep presenting the gospel to people. And I've got one of my young Ingadine young people with us in church tonight. She was lovely coming to Inverell yesterday. And this has nothing to do with answering the question. Narrabri, where am I? Narrabri. And it was lovely to drive into Narrabri yesterday, and I park the car, get out of the car, and I hear, Rick. And there's young Emily with a grandmother, and it's just lovely that she's up here. But she's a product of our church at Ingadine. And we want to keep seeing in every church young people who love the Lord Jesus, growing up in Jesus, encouraging them to live for Jesus. She's one from Ingadine. I'm hoping to see hundreds of them here at Narrabri. That's a pressure on you, isn't it, Richard? Under God, but all over the shop, we want to see people coming to Christ. And you're the bishop, really. He's got an important job to do, but his job is not as important, or it's not any more important than you telling your friends how to find Jesus. So people kept asking me, what's your vision for the diocese? And I say, well, they haven't asked me in the last month because I've left Sydney, but everyone in Sydney kept saying, what's your vision for the diocese, Rick? I say, I'm not even there yet. Come on. Give me a break. And then I'd say, well, hang on. You want a vision? My vision is this. We need to introduce people to Jesus, and then we've got to get them home to heaven. That's my vision for the Diocese of Armidale. Help people be introduced to Jesus and then get them home to heaven. Now, how do you do that? Well, that can't be the bishop's vision on his own. It's got to be your vision, shared with me, as we do it with people we live next door to, as we risk our lives for the proclamation of Jesus to the lost. Because it'd be dreadful. I remember Rico Tice. I don't know if anyone knows Rico Tice, but Rico Tice is an Englishman. And he said he played rugby with a group of guys, and one of his friends said to another one of his friends, he says, "Rico doesn't love me." His mate said, "What do you mean Rico doesn't love you? Of course Rico loves you. He thinks you're fantastic, bloke." He said, "Well, if Rico loved me, he would tell me about the Jesus that he keeps proclaiming, because I know how important it is to know Jesus." And Rico said, you know, that was a shattering thing for him. You want to love people? Oh, you know, tell them about Jesus.